Sorry, Popa, for suggesting me this problem. So today, as the title shows, I will try to estimate some relative commutants, which means I will try to prove it. Okay, so let me remind the following thing. So let gamma be a group, discrete group, and let d tau be an amenable Neumann algebra, it comes equipped with a trace, a fixed trace. Then we can form what is called the Reed product. So we form a special tensor product over B, and we act with the group through Bernoulli shift. Okay. So basically, the action is just the translation. Okay, so we have this action, basically sigma from G to the automorphic tensor of B. Then we associate the cross product, we made a cross product, and this the polynomial algebra that resulted here is so-called Reed product, B along gamma. And what I want to say, okay, I want to recall the following result proved by Professor Sorin Popa. So, okay, so let, okay, so in the same setting, if gamma is a non-amenable group, and if we suppose we are in the situation with Q a subalgebra in a corner of M, so we denote this algebra by M, and so we take this subalgebra, so for Neumann subalgebra that has no amenable direction one without any amenable, which has no amenable direction one. Okay. Now, if the relative commutant of this algebra with respect to the entire corner, which I will denote by Q0, if this algebra is not embeddable in the core, which means there is no corner of this algebra that can be rotated by an isometry in the core, so inside, I will say in a moment what's the definition for this notation. I will use this notation and I will say what it means. Okay. Then there exists a partial isometry in M, non-zero, such that Z Q0 V star can be embedded in L of gamma. L of gamma. So a big chunk of the commutants will sit in the group sign. Okay? Can be. This is the result. And of course, it's more complete than that. I mean, in the situation when the group gamma is ICC, then actually you can conjugate by a unitary. You can extend this V to a unitary. And and of course, this was an important theorem because, for instance, it can prove primality for factors like this. So if you start with a non-amenable group and with an amenable algebra and form the Reed product, you can prove using this theorem, for instance, this is prime, which means you cannot write it as a tensor product between two factors. Okay? But, okay, our goal is to look at this theorem and to, okay, I want to, okay, so I want to remind you what that means. So we say Q0 can be conjugated in inside M if there exists C from Q0 to in B Okay, of course, Q0 will be a projection of Q0. B will be a projection of tensor B. Okay? So, there exists this P, which is a star isomorphism on the image, which means it's not onto usually. The image says that it's implemented by an isometry. So x, v is equal to v cx for any x in q0 of q. And once we impose such a condition, then the range and the of the isometry should be in the, you know, v star v, for instance, should automatically be in q0 intersection with q0 and q0. Of course, it exists in q0 and b. Okay, and b is that sustain the other algebra, which is c q0 prime intersection with which is b and b. Okay, so this is, you know, a unipart star isomorphism that moves unit opposite. Okay, this is what stands for this notation. So whenever a corner can be conjugate into that part, we denote that by this notation. When I say none, means none. There is no corner. Okay? Now, the goal of this talk is to prove this theorem without this assumption, to get rid of this assumption. Okay? Now, okay, I will go that way. Okay. So I will go that way. It's a bit unusual. Okay, so theorem. I don't want. So if. Okay, so the theorem is the same assumption. If, okay, so B tau amenable on an algebra M like before, then Q is, if Q is a subalgebra in P and P, then it's denoted by Q0. This algebra, of course, has no. Okay, then Q0, which is Q intersection with D and P, you denote this algebra, I denote it already by Q0. Okay. So basically, we just get rid of that condition, okay? So in the same setting, if you take this commutant, then you can conjugate the commutant into the log gamma, allowing any position from the beginning of the commutant. Okay, the benefit of this point is that you allow, for instance, your algebra to stay in the core. Think that, you know, does not follow for that. So that's a corollary.
U has no amenable direct.
Yes.
So you don't allow U in the core because the core is.
Yes, but I'm talking about the relative commutant. That assumption was, you know, the relative commutant should be big. I mean, I'm not big, far away from the core. This is what it means. Okay? But I'm allowing this now. I don't care how it will become. Okay? So this is it. Okay, so we can say the following thing. So let, if gamma is amenable, group, and B amenable, if Q is a subalgebra in the core, should be few.
I mean, it should be a big chunk, not something that is. Okay, then,
the relative commutant is the entire algebra.
Okay, M.
So all the time,
M will mean that cross product, the red product between gamma and M. Okay? This is a middle one.
Thank you.
So have small relative commutant. This is what this theorem says. Okay? Okay, now we can. Of course, in the case on the group gamma, it's, you know, hyperbolic. You know, this actually a stronger version of this theorem is proven by Professor Ozawa. Okay, but here somehow we allow the group, we relax the group very much. We don't ask anything about the group. It's just any non-amenable group, and this is still true. Okay. So it's a weaker result than Ozawa's, of course, but you know, it allowed the group to be more general. Okay. And okay, so this is the first thing that you can prove from this, and second thing is an ergodic theory.
Theory corolla,
which is a corollary of this one, actually.
A corollary.
True. That says basically we have an equivalence relation. And R a equivalence relation. Then there exists a surface for for Bernoulli action. Okay. Then there exists a partition. Of H mu. A measurable partition such that you can split your subrelation. So AI is R invariant for any I greater than zero. B, the first component is hyperfinite, so R restricted, the relation restricted to the first bit, hyperfinite. And C, only each of the other components is strongly ergodic. Yeah, the equivalence.
The
Bernoulli action. Yeah,
gamma Bernoulli action. So basically, this is the equivalence relation that you associate with the Bernoulli action. So you take gamma acting on. I don't know. Take x where x is zero. X zero, okay?
Okay, and so you take this action and then you associate this equivalence relation, okay? Yeah. anyway, I will focus on the von Neumann algebra proof, okay? I will try to give some proof. So this is. So now we need some preliminary. Okay, so basically we'll follow the same idea that exists in the proof of Professor Popa's proof, but somehow will weaken some conditions. There are some issues that need addressing, you know, in order to do this. So let's see. First of all, we have deformation.
I don't know, should I call it maybe free deformation of Bernoulli, of Ritz product.
I don't know how much. Okay. So namely, what we have, so we take this algebra B, tilde, which is B free with L of G. Okay? Consider this free product. So we go outside the algebra by free.
Okay.
Now, of course, we can consider the Bernoulli action
with the coordinate, right?
Okay. So the same Bernoulli action when restricted to the original core would be the original action. And this, we call this algebra M tilde. Okay. And Now, in here we have a unitary which we generated z. That is so-called hard unitary, okay? So take that unitary u that generates L of z. So this u, this hard unitary can be written as a exponential of I h, where h will be a self-adjoint operator. Maybe let's say pi. I want to be minus 1, 1. Then we can build the following set of unitaries uq, which is equal to x of I pi h. Okay. And then for all of these unitaries, we consider the conjugation automorphism. So phi t is equal to add uq. Index of a gamma. Okay? So this will be an automorphism of course of the tensor. Okay? And since this unitary obviously commutes with the Bernoulli action, then you can lift it to the entire cross product algebra. So basically, since phi t and sigma commute, then you can lift this unitary to an automorphism of automorphism of M tilde. Okay. And then obviously, what's the property? Why do I call this deformation? The problem is, whenever you allow this t going to zero, then we converge to identity, right? So phi t of x minus x in norm tool converge to zero when t goes to zero pointwise, okay? This is a deformation by automorphism. This, I think it was considered before by Professor Popa, Jesse, Ivana, and so on. Yeah, so... Now, we want to emphasize this is basically... We use this deformation because, so the original proof was done using the tensor deformation. And that one has some part where we cannot estimate some conditional expectation. This is what we use this one. Since this freeness will allow us to compute very specifically some part that is difficult. So with this notation, we can, lemma 1, or lemma 2, the so-called spectral gap property. Which says the following. If you have P in M and then in M tilde that, okay, so you have just P that has no amenable direct summand. And then if you consider a Schlüter filter on n of the natural numbers on this algebra, then you can have a control of this relative commutant, p prime intersection with n tilde omega is in m omega, okay? And of course, I don't have that much time to go to this proof, but there are a few parts that we have different computations for this one. And but it's lengthy and maybe we'll skip it, okay? It's too technical. Okay, lemma 2 is you take, then we have something that was called transversality. So basically norm of x minus em. Of course by em this is the conditional expectation from n tilde to m. So then we have this is norm less or equal than okay. So we have the same t, we don't need to increase the okay. It's a direct computation using the freeness, so it's nothing. Yes, and then, now let's see, so proof of theorem 1 says Q has no amenable direct summand, we can apply this lemma for Q instead of P. Okay? What does this say? Well, this says there exists a bunch of unitaries, so unitaries of Q says that, and of course delta greater than 0 says that if X is in M tilde, let's say of norm 1, less than 1, and with the property that is less than delta, then, so when something almost commuted this unitary, they should be almost commuted in M. This is what it says, okay? So for all this, then we should have then EM X minus X norm 2 is less than epsilon, okay? This is what it says. Well, now, we have this deformation, Ct, right? So when T goes to 0, this goes to 1. So for that set of unitaries UE, you can choose a best T such that all of them, UI minus Ct, UI is less than epsilon in norm 2. Okay, so there exists T0 greater than 0 such that norm of UI minus UI norm 2 is less than delta, let's say delta over 2, for any I from 1 to N. Okay? Then, if you choose this thing, so this is true for any T, which will be in 0 to 0, okay? So we have this thing by continuity of Ct. Then now, the computation, so easy computation shows that norm of UI Ct of X norm 2 is equal to UI Ct of X minus Ct of X UI norm 2, which is less, in a moment I will say where is X, 2 norm Ct UI minus UI less than delta for any X that sits in the covenant. Okay? This is obvious calculation when you plug in. So, for any X that sits in the covenant. And of course with norm less or equal than 1. Okay? But, so this thing, I choose it to be less than delta, with the same delta that I have here. This will tell me norm of EM of Ct of X minus Ct of X in norm 2 is less than epsilon, right, for any x in P and P, 1. Okay? And then, if we use lemma lemma 3, this will give you x minus c2 of x in norm 2. Use them, but you know, this doesn't matter for any x in the unit ball. So basically, along the unit ball of this commutant, Ct converges uniformly. Okay, so I was able basically to move move in the free direction uniformly, basically, and this is the key part, basically. Okay? It will be enough. I mean, we don't need any symmetry of the path or strong malleability. This was enough ingredients to reach the conclusion. Okay? And, okay, now we recall this result of Ioana in 2005, which says the following. If if Ct converges to identity uniformly, of course this was used in the context of property T where we had this information, but realizing the end, you can apply it here too, okay? So if Ct converges to identity uniformly on the unit ball of this algebra, let's say M Q0 to carry a user notation with me, then we have the following dichotomy.
A. Either either 2-0 can be conjugated in L of gamma inside M,
which is our case,
or B,
this algebra should stay in the core, can be conjugated in the core. And the proof is to prove this B is not possible. This will lead to a contradiction. That would be the end. Okay. So this will be, this is okay.
But the other one will lead to a contradiction. And how do we?
I don't think I have time.
I have many pages here.
Yes. So I cannot go for the proof. It's like 5 pages, so it's not. But anyway. Okay, so maybe instead of doing this, maybe I will tell you how the corollary follows from this theorem. I mean, I really don't have time, you know, to do this. I'm sorry. So
let's say proof of.
So for the proof of the corollary one, okay, I think I can use this in 1 minute, okay? How do I use that? So, okay, so if you assume that Q0, which is Q prime intersection with M, is non-amenable, this time to sit in the core, non-amenable, then, of course, you can find the central projection, which, when you cut this algebra, you have no amenable direct summand on that one, okay? So there is a resistor G central in Q prime intersection with M says that Q0Z has no amenable direct summand. Okay? But of course this Q0 and Q commutes, they work each in of the other commutants, so by theorem 1, the resistor B in M partial isometry says that VQ0 V star is in L of gamma. Okay? But this V star V turned out to stay in QZ prime intersection with Z and Z. Okay? And since this Q is diffuse, you know, basically you're going to take this Q0 in the corner of M by Z and apply the theorem for P equal to that corner, that central projection. Then there exists, of course, being diffuse, this M is converged weakly to zero, okay? If this is what it means to be this. And this UN is actually a unitary of Q. You can find the unitary of Q with this property. So this tells you what? Computation shows you that UN U star in OR2 is actually, okay, which is something greater than 0 for any N, because of the commutation, okay? For any N. On the other hand, this is in L of gamma, okay? But another computation can show you A of L of gamma will be UN V star converged to 0 in OR2, okay? But this will lead to a contradiction, right? Because this sitting here, this should be something constant. It's just the trace of E, of the support. So,